We apologize, but the first half of the sermon was not recorded today due to technical difficulties. We hope you do enjoy the part that we were able to capture. This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is teaching through the book of Colossians. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
Jesus Christ, and it's important to see this, is that when He's in your place, when He dies, you die. When He's raised from, He's raised up on the cross, you are raised up on the cross. And when He dies in your place for your sins, it's you dying in your place for your sins, but He's there dying in your place. You die. And when He's raised from the dead, you are raised from the dead. And when He ascends to glory and is seated at the right hand of God, you are raised and ascend to glory and are seated at the right hand of God. So substitution is to be understood along with the idea of union with Jesus Christ. You're joined to Him. And what He did for you, He did so that when He died, you died. When He's raised from the dead, you're raised from the dead. When He ascends to glory, you're ascended to glory. And that's why it's such important truth to completely understand. Because here in this passage it says, if then you were raised with Christ, and then we'll come to the command in a moment, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And it's important for you to know that you are in Christ, seated at the right hand of God. Why is that so important to know as you live the Christian life? And the answer is because it gives you great assurance. It gives you great assurance to know that you are already, Christ died for you, He is raised for you, you died, you're raised, He ascends, He seats at the right. That's where you are. And that's a wonderful thing because it makes me know that I cannot lose or be destroyed with reference to the salvation that I have here. There's great protection in that. And there's also great understanding of the perfection of what Jesus Christ has done. The Lord doesn't want us to live, as I've said so many times, the Lord does not want us to live the Christian life in doubt of the outcome. He doesn't want you to say, you know, believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm living the Christian life for Him, and I sure hope I can do enough to make it to glory. With the idea that you come to the gate, and there is Peter. I don't know that this scene will be there. In fact, I'm quite sure it won't. But if it was, then there's Peter standing at the gate. And you come to the gate, and he says, you know, you've really tried hard. We really appreciate that up here. We saw the way you were trying so hard, but, you know, you really didn't do enough. And you say, well, okay, I guess I should have done more. That scene never takes place because, you see, when you enter into heaven, in a very real sense, you're already there. And Jesus Christ assures the fact that you're not already there, but you're already there ruling with Christ. You're already seated upon the throne. And the Jesus Christ being seated on the throne indicates several things. First, it indicates He's in a position of honor. He comes to heaven not to be at a place where God says to Him, you know, you as used to be the perfect Son of God, now you're the tarnished Son of God, so you need to sort of be in the lowest place of heaven. But He enters into heaven, He sits upon the throne of God. Sits at the right hand of the throne of God. That means at the position of honor. Plus, He's seated. And the sitting of Jesus Christ upon the throne indicates that the work is finished. It's all done. and he's sitting there, and in the very real sense, you are sitting there if you are a Christian. You are sitting there. When he died, you died. When he was raised from the dead, you're raised from the dead. When he ascends to glory, you ascend. And the work is done. And so when the humanists, when the Judaizers come along and they say, no, there's more work for you to do. And the Christian life is such that if you do this work, you'll make it into heaven. If you don't do this work, you will not make it into heaven. We go, whoa, that's a lot. And you can have a heavy burden on your shoulders of, have I done enough? If salvation is by works, you will never come to a place where you say, I've done enough. The people who believe that salvation is by works look at us when we say, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm seated in the heavenly places already. In fact, I know that I have a place. I'm seated upon the throne. I know that I'm with Christ. I know that He is, just as Christ is acceptable and honored by the Father, so am I. And people look at that and say, well, what kind of an arrogant person are you to say such a thing? And I say, I'm not an arrogant person. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm no better than anyone else. But my hope is not in me and my performance and living the Christian life. My hope is in Christ. He's the one who died for me in my place so that I died. And He was raised. I was raised. He is seated on the throne. I am seated on the throne. And the Lord says, don't put that truth in your pocket. Put it in your mind. Think about it. Because that's the great encouragement that you get in thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about that, when false doctrine comes along and people say, as you find in the previous passage, and look back at this, verse 20 of chapter 2, here come the Judaizers, the humanists. And they say, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And some of those things are all pretty good, probably. You look at those and say, well, those seem like good rules to me. But if you think they're not touching, they're not tasting, they're not handling will secure your place on the throne of God, that Jesus Christ has just barely gained you entrance into glory and you have to make sure that you make it, if you have that particular view, then the not touching, not tasting, and not handling is the means by which you get there. Or part of the means by which you get there. But he says, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So you make up all these rules. Things you're going to do, things you're not going to do. But if you think that's what gets you to heaven, if you think your heavenly seat upon the throne is gained by your personal obedience here upon the earth, you are deceived. That's an earthly mindset. Your presence in heaven is traceable to the working of Christ. Keep that in front of your face. Walk in that truth. So it's in that vein that he says, if you have been, since you have been raised up with Christ, it's what Christ did for you, keep seeking the things above. Now here's where you have this combination between the sovereignty, the great work of God, and our responsibility. You say to me, well, you just got through saying that you don't have to do all these things to get yourself to heaven. I said, no, you don't. You don't do those things in order to get yourself to heaven. You do these things because you have your place in heaven. We walk in the truth because of what Jesus Christ has done in bringing us into the truth. We walk the Christian life. We do what we do as Christians, not to gain, but because of who we are. And because we see Christ in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Every day, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's one of the reasons why you can be thankful when you fail in living the Christian life, because it's you who has failed. You have failed. But Christ has not failed. And we see our failures all the time. But as you see your failure all the time, be reminded of the cross and be reminded of the resurrection and be reminded of the ascension, that Christ is lifted up, and remember that you're there and you're there and you're there and you're seated at the throne of God. You say, glory be to God. I have a place in heaven, not because of me, but because of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's not just, it's the fact of Christianity. It's not just the thought or the hope of Christianity in the sense of you don't know if it's true or it could be true, might be true, might not be true. We're just hoping that all that. It's the fact of Christianity. It's the reality. So he says, really, there's two realms that you can live in. And we live in this realm. And he says, in this text, keep seeking the things which are above. That's a command. So we have a fact, now we have the function. Keep seeking the things that are above. We keep seeking where we are. If we were not there, we could not be obedient to this command. Jesus Christ hadn't died for us, if he hadn't been raised for us, if he wasn't ascended to glory, we could not keep seeking. But we can do that because of who we are in Christ. And this keep seeking is a command that you can never fulfill. You say, well, I'm going to keep seeking. You wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, I need to keep seeking. There's some commands that say, do this until it's done. This is one of those commands that says, keep on doing. Keep on seeking. And we keep on seeking this heavenly realm. And this is where, as I said, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man emerge together. There's great mystery in that truth. But we're not to live in this realm with reference to the false teachers, with reference to humanism, with reference to all the things that take place in this realm. But we're to live in this world with a, as we're going to see in a moment, with a mindset of another world. And I always like to think that someone should have said to the Lord, you know, that's not really going to work very well. In fact, it's going to be really impossible. We are going to live in this world with a mindset of that world. And I said, we are going to get eaten alive here. It's not going to work. The people out there in the world don't live this way. And you're asking us to live with the heavenly mindset, though we live in this earth where everyone else is living with an earthly mindset. It's not going to work. But the amazing thing, by the grace of God, is that it does work. And so all the commands that you're going to see in this passage, even having to do with wives and husbands, this gets lots of fun, and children and servants and masters, and the commands that are given for all Christians, you should look at all these commands and say, not going to work. That won't work. We can't do that. Keep your eyes focused on who you are in Christ, because God has seen fit to show the triumph of Christ by us being here in this world, living with a whole different worldview, a whole different mindset. We live here with the mindset of Christ. And it works not because of us, it works because of Christ. Christ is saying, my crucifixion and my resurrection and my ascension are so powerful that you're going to be able to live in this world for me by that power alone. I say, that's amazing. I say, no, it's not amazing. It's a miracle. It's God's grace. Always be drawn to Jesus Christ. So he says, you have that mindset. Well, what does that look like? How do you do that in practical terms? Well, he gives this second part of this command. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth. That's talking about how you think. This is this heavenly mindset, the way in which you think. You mean the way I think about things is important in living the Christian life? And I say, yes, the way in which you think is important because your thinking comes before your living. And you set your mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you think about Him. It's far easier to think about what we should be doing. And you can say, well, I am a Christian husband, so I need to know the things that I need to do in order to be a Christian husband. There's great commands that are given in Scripture about what you should do. I'm a Christian wife, or I'm a Christian child, I'm a Christian slave, I'm a Christian master, and so I can think about all the things that I'm doing. But before you ever get to that point, you are to remember to always be setting your mind on the things above. And that means you are to actually, the way you think is so important in your Christian life and in your Christian endeavor. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about His death upon the cross. You think about His resurrection. You think about His ascension. You think about Jesus Christ. You think Christ in me, the hope of glory. And every responsibility that you ever had should lead you to Christ. And just as you would advise someone who comes to you and says, I have a problem, I say, well, before I give you the solution to the problem, you need Christ. So it is that when you think about the Christian life, you should be thinking of Christ. Say, Lord, I have responsibility that you've given here, and I look in Scripture, and these are the things that you're commanding me to do. First of all, I want to say to you, is I can't do these things. I don't have the power to be obedient. But as Augustine said, you know, command what you will and then give me the power to do what you command. So we should see the commandments and we should immediately see our inability, but then we should also immediately see Christ, who died for us to secure our forgiveness, so that He died, we died. And He was raised for us. So we are raised from the dead to walk in the newness of life. We have spiritual life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He is seated on the throne, which means I know that all of the benefits, all of the blessing is secure in heaven for me. And my perfection is secured. Glory be to God. He is taking me to be like Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? He's going to make us to be like Christ. And it's secure in heaven. It's not like somebody can take it away and snatch it away here upon the earth or destroy what God is doing. It is secured in heaven in Christ. That's where my blessing is. That's where my hope is. That's where my assurance is. It's in Christ. And so I think about that. In Christ, I have the full forgiveness of my sins. In Christ, I have all of the righteousness that makes me acceptable to God. In Christ, I am justified. In Christ, I am sanctified and will be glorified. In Christ, I have strength and power. In Christ, I have wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, I have my life. And you say, thinking, just thinking that way, there's power in thinking? I said, no, this is not the power of positive thinking. This is not think a happy thought and happy things will happen. If the fact is not true, you can think whatever you want and it's not going to happen. So if you don't trust me on that, get in a boat, cut a hole in the bottom of the boat and go out in the middle of the lake and pull the cork out and think about how you can fly. Think really hard about how you can fly. And as the boat fills up, think about being dry. And then I hope you can swim. But think about not being too far away from the shore and swimming back. But you can think all the happy thoughts you want, but if the facts do not support your happy thoughts, your boat will fill with water. If Jesus Christ does not stand behind his truth, if we are not in Christ at the cross, if we are not in Christ at his resurrection, if we are not in Christ ascended before glory, if that is not the truth, then all of the happy thoughts that you have will not accomplish anything. But since it is the truth, as the revelation of God says, since it is true, when you think on these things, it is the means by which God empowers you to live for him. So it's not just the power of positive thinking, it's the power of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension and the power of God in Jesus Christ that enables you to live for him. And it's as if the Lord says, I don't want you to be thinking about touch not, eat not, do this, not this, all the things that we do. I want your minds focused upon Christ. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean, you speak to the men for a moment, when your wife looks at you and says, sure looks like the lawn needs to be mowed. You go, well, I'm thinking of things above, not on things of this earth. Trust me, you can have a heavenly mindset when you mow the lawn. There are many things on this earth that we have to do. So this is not saying, well, I can't do anything related to this earth. That's not what having this heavenly mindset. We go about our lives. There's many mundane things that we have to do in this life. But when you set your mind on things above, it means that your mind is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I tell you by the authority of Scripture, when your mind is set upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are empowered by God to live in obedience to him. You are empowered by God based upon the work of Christ in your place for you in such a way as you have died, you have been raised, and you have been seated. It's that power that God gives to you in order to live for him. That's the wonder of Christianity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Apostle Paul says to these individuals, as the Judaizers come with all the ways in which they're to go about living the Christian life, which cause them to focus upon the do's and don'ts of all of this life, and he says to them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not you doing all the do's and don'ts, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And I hope you have a great list of do's and don'ts, and I hope you do and don't all of them. But if you think that doing the do's and don'ts is what's going to get you to glory, it doesn't get you to glory, and you could never do the do's and don'ts were it not for Christ seated at the right hand of God in your place for you. So thankful that my salvation is complete in Christ, perfected in Jesus Christ, protected in Jesus Christ, secure in Christ. So the Lord says, keep your eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth, fact, and function. Fact and function. As you function in living the Christian life, keep your eyes focused upon the facts of Jesus Christ. Live for him, by him. Live for him in light of the facts related to him. So the Apostle Paul says the Christian life should not draw you closer to your to-do list. It should draw you closer to Christ. And may our hearts be focused upon him. If Christ is your Savior, then you know Him. If Christ is not your Savior, then you need to know the Christ who suffered and died to save sinners from their sin. And I would say to you, come to Christ. You need to have Christ in order to have full forgiveness of your sins, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the new life of Jesus Christ, and the assurance of His finished work in heaven for you. Come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon Him. Help us to have a mindset that sees Christ. So easy for us to focus upon the things of this world, the things we have to do, the things that occupy our time. But Lord, help us to remember that it is Christ who saves. It is Christ who secures. It is Christ who sanctifies. Lord, help our eyes and our hearts and our minds to be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His person and His work for us. We ask Your blessing to be upon us as we go from this place. May we go with our hearts focused on Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.